Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM. Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. It's 9:10. It's 76 degrees on a gorgeous day here in downtown. Well, outside, outskirts of Fairfield. As again, my name is Bruce Dickey on the Bruce Dickey Show. My guest across the way is the director of the Center Street School Band, as well as the director of the City Band, Municipal Band here in Fairfield. It's Dave Kuzmanka. Dave, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me again, Bruce.
I appreciate you coming on. You come on here every year, you have tried to. This is your third time on the show now?
Probably something like that.
Third, fourth, tenth?
Not tenth. I haven't been here that long.
You are the City Band director, as well as the director for the kids down. What do you find more fun with?
I enjoy both, but it is definitely a different thought process.
Yeah.
From teaching something versus just, you know, getting out there and performing. You know, it is a different mindset, and I enjoy both.
That's, you know, that's one of the things you say whenever you do a municipal band like this, as opposed to the grade school band. You don't have nearly as much time to teach with a municipal band setting, do you?
No, definitely don't. Don't really teach much there. You know, there's, you know, we
you
might kind of
hope the folks know how to play.
Yeah. Well, no, I know everyone can play, and so we might go over a couple of sections that might be a little, you know, a little different or look strange. Yeah. But other than that, you know, we just kind of run it down.
Is that how long does it take? We'll get a little background on you first before we remind folks who you are. How long you been in town now, Dave?
Was it 6 years now? I think I've
Has
been
it been
in town.
6 years?
I think so. Yeah.
Good grief, you're getting old.
Yeah, it happens.
No gray hair yet, though. Or
it's there.
There. I see maybe a little there. You didn't want me pointing it out, did you?
That's wisdom leaking out of my head, I think.
Okay, sure. You've got the wife is...
Lyndall.
And she'll finish up her work today?
Yesterday was her last day.
She's a teacher as well?
Yep. Teaches down in Enfield, Norris City.
Okay, good. So she's at Booth School?
Yep.
Okay, good. Kids?
Kids are good. Daughter's going into second grade. How son's is, going into kindergarten. Adeline.
Adeline is the daughter, and yep. The boy's going into what?
Going into kindergarten.
Is he fired up about that?
He is.
Does he even know about it?
Yes. Yep. They went over there, took a tour of the school, and did all that. So.
How can you tell when a 5-year-old kid is fired up?
Well, he's just fired up about everything.
That's
mostly,
what so. I figured. Are they now, being both of them being teachers' children, and a musician's child? Does your wife play?
My wife does not. Well, she has a little bit. She did some drumline in college, playing cymbals and.
Is that where you met her at SIU?
Actually, we met in high school.
Oh, okay. At Heron?
Marion.
Marion. Yep. Have the kids begun to, Adeline is beginning probably to go on tonettes and stuff like that. Has she begun to show a bent toward, I know she's always feisty at the performances.
Yeah, well, I think they both enjoy music. I think they really both enjoy being on stage also. So
no
kidding. The performance aspect, they really enjoy. They've done some dance recitals and just really, really enjoy performing most of all.
Do you think that's part of you've been teaching music now for several years and you've been a performer for several years. You still are a performer. How many bands are you in now?
I play...
the occasional
two
King
bands,
City.
Two bands fairly regularly. I play at the big band out of Vincennes, and I play with a rock and roll band based out of Salem.
You play saxophone in a rock and roll band?
Yep.
No kidding.
It's a Chicago-style band, 15-piece.
Like a fusion?
Well, it's a 15-piece band, 5 horns.
Wow.
Just playing, you know, Chicago, some Beatles tunes, Van Morrison, you know, they do some stuff with horns, some stuff without.
How often do they play? I've never heard of them.
Well, actually, they've been playing since 1967, the original six guys.
How often do they play around here?
We haven't gotten too close. We've been Effingham, we've played Centralia, we played the Balloon Fest the last couple of years.
What's the band name?
The Invaders.
The Invaders. I think you told me that last year. I forgot about them. That must be a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, it's a good time. It's just something different. It's always nice to keep changing things up, keep yourself interested, and keep yourself fresh.
What do you enjoy more as a what jazzes you more? Do you enjoy the performance at playing the horn, playing as part of a group, or do you enjoy the ability to basically run the show as a director and choosing music and that kind of thing?
Well, you know, as a director, we all kind of like being in charge.
Yeah.
So, you know, being able to pick what music we play and how we play it, I do enjoy that. But I also just like kicking back and playing. I don't have to think as hard when I'm playing as when
That's
I'm
the easiest
in front
part
of the group.
Well, I do appreciate you fitting your ego through the door here. Your director ego through the door, Dave. That's very thoughtful of you.
Well, at least I'm honest about it.
We were talking, we'll get to the music and what the City Band's going to play this year in a few minutes. We were talking a little bit about the amount of time that the City Band performers, they all come in already knowing how to play and being at a certain level and being quality. How much time does it, the same song that you're going to ask a City Band to play, how much time will you invest with the with your kids at the school?
Well, if I was playing something similar, you know, we might be working on something for, you know, a month and a half, you know, in rehearsal, not solely focused on that, but bits and pieces of that.
So you rehearse with the kids, what, 50 minutes a day?
42
minutes. And out of that 42, you've got to get tuned up. You've got to get the horns out, put together, horns put back. How much actual rehearsal time do you think you have in a period?
Well, you know, from just getting there, because I am outside of the building, proper.
Yeah, you're in the, right next to the new gymnasium,
yep,
right?
Next there, so we've got our own music building there,
yeah.
That I share with Mr. Lipsay, and so kids come out there, get our stuff together, get warmed up, you know, we... You know, can get a good half hour, and you know, if we want to.
Well, that's cool. So if you get the songs you're playing for contests. Say, yep, you've got a contest every March, I presume, right?
Yeah, usually around there.
Do they used to have two of them? Used to have district and state. Do they just have one now?
Or they still do. But for me, I kind of like focusing in on our spring concert as well. We'll do some of the same songs that we play at contest, but we'll also change some things up and add a couple of things.
Okay.
And I like to do some movie music or some musical music as well.
Okay, so when you're starting to gear toward contest or something like that, but or toward your concerts, how many months are the kids working on that? Because it seems like... You're probably going to put on for an hour long show. There must be so many hours of preparation.
Well, it's a lot of time leading up to everything. We do performances throughout the year, from parades,
yeah, Christmas. Yeah,
we do parades. We play at ball games.
Yeah.
You know, so we do a lot of Christmas concert. We do lots of performance. So just trying to get a wide variety of music in front of the kids. And
what's your biggest joy whenever you see some kid learn a piece that they've been struggling with, or what, or the whole group maybe play better and improve?
You know, you have really good teaching moments like that, where something that's hard is done really well.
Yeah.
And you can kind of see people light up, and it's like, hey, you know, we got it that time.
Yeah.
But then also getting them to see connections with other things. You know, I had we played music from a movie, and I had a couple kids get together, watch it, and they were pointing out parts during the movie that, oh, you know, I played that part, or I played part. So things like that, just having what they do apply it to the outside world is also really neat.
It's kind of the revelatory moments like that probably the kid lights up, and that probably makes any teacher light up, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, and so when things happen in the classroom, that's great. But when you impact somebody outside of the classroom, then that, you know, that means even more.
They're able to take that into their own life. I'm talking with Center Street Band Director as well as City Band Director Dave Kazmaka, and we're going to talk about the program for tonight, as well as talk maybe a little bit about what's coming up this season and over the course of the June concert season for the City Band. When we return here on the Bruce Dickey Show, you are listening on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield. Back after these. The rest of the welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Hope the rest of the group was listening right then, Dave.
Yeah, well, it's a good tune.
We're playing that one in 2 weeks. That was Flickertail. Tell me about Flickertail.
Well, State March of North Dakota.
How in the world did it become the State March of North Dakota? Did the guy write it for North Dakota, or did they just pick it?
Well, I think he wrote it.
What is a flickertail?
Well, it's actually a groundhog, a prairie dog.
Flickertail's a prairie dog.
Well, because when they dive back into their holes, their tails will flick.
Is that right? Yep. I had no idea where the origin of that was.
Yep, nope, not a bird. It's a groundhog or a barking squirrel, as they were known.
Wow. Okay, learn something new every day. That's good to know. The City Band will be playing that on June 23rd. That's 2 weeks from what? That's 3 weeks away,
three weeks.
Right? There's the 16th. I lost the 16th. I was looking on your list here. By the way, folks, I've got Dave Kazmatka here on the show. He's the director of the Fairfield City Band, and we've been talking about what he does off the City Band. We're going to talk about City Band. What's the presentation tonight there, Dave?
Well, tonight we're doing some, I'm definitely a fan of history.
Yeah.
That's
the cool part. Yeah. Folks who come to these shows, you'll get a little bit of, when Dave tells us here on the radio that he's a fan of history, also there at the shows, you tell the histories of stuff, don't you?
A little bit. And so we're doing, you know, I'm a big fan of folk songs, not just from here, but from around the world. So we're doing some folk songs from America, some folk songs from England, some folk songs from more Eastern Europe. So some of that is just different songs from different parts of the world.
Just trying to make it a cosmopolitan type of event, I guess, right?
Well, that's kind of America. You know, we took bits and pieces from lots of different places, and we stuck together. And one of the things we made was jazz, so we're also doing a big band jazz medley.
Well, see, now that's cool. That basically brings it all together. I was wondering. I gotta admit, I was wondering what got the jazz thrown in there. I just thought maybe you were looking for some non-folk stuff.
Well, yeah, so that jazz is definitely a collection of different musical ideas from all over the place. And, and we're doing a medley of tunes by Chicago, so you also have the jazz and rock influence there.
Tell me about Chicago's influence on you. Listening to Chicago, you play saxophone.
I do.
And which kind of saxophones can you or will you play?
Well, I can play all of them. I currently have five, soprano, alto, tenor, baritone, and bass.
You've got all five?
It's not all five. They actually make a lot more than that.
You've got those five.
I have those five. Yeah, one.
You
of
don't
each.
Have two of any. Of any. You don't double up on any of them.
No. You know, I guess I can tell my wife I don't want much. Just want everything.
So it depends if you're in a Kenny G mood.
Yep.
You'll dig out the soprano.
Yep, I can. Which I've played with the Roasted Chestnuts before.
Yeah, that's right.
On the school tour that you guys do.
That's right, the Christmas tour. And you'll dig out at what points do you dig out the soprano or the bass saxophone or maybe the bari sax?
Well, actually the bass, I just had my first job playing that. I played up in Salem it was a fundraiser for the theater in Salem.
Oh, really?
And so it was a blues review, and so I played mostly tenor but some bass.
What songs? I got to know. What song would a blues review band play that requires a bass?
Well, we actually did a Dixieland version of Basin Street Blues.
I love it, ladies and gentlemen.
So I was playing bass.
That's cool. That's cool. So, did the bass? Were you backing up the bass player? Were you playing the same thing the bass guitar player is playing?
They pulled the horn section up front, and so
everybody else section, backed up quietly.
Yep. Yep.
Ho ho. Man, how was he? So I got to know, at that point, did people start throwing money at it? Or did they all stand up and run out the door away from the
Well, it was great.
The fundraiser.
You know, they enjoyed it, and the yeah. people working enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know, I broke that out for the first rehearsal, and it's kind of, they do exist, you know,
yeah,
that kind of thing.
That's right. Where did you find something? eBay has everything, don't they?
Well, actually, there's a guy selling it out of St. Louis.
No
so
kidding.
So it went all that far.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, I've been looking for one for years and finally found one at a price I was willing to pay.
Oh, the troubling thing is, though, now that since you're directing the group here, the city band, we won't be able to have anybody play the bass saxophone at the city band. Right?
Well, actually, I will be playing. My colleague, Joshua Lifsay, he'll be directing concerts as well.
One's he directing?
He's doing the 16th, and he's also doing the 30th, which will be a patriotic-themed show for us.
So you're going to bring out the bass saxophone. Tell me which one, the 16th or the 30th or both?
The 16th.
Okay, that's probably smart.
Yep.
That's probably smart. The 30th, with us having three tubas in the band, the 30th being a patriotic show, we may not need to help.
Maybe not, but bring that out. And actually, it was the first saxophone made.
Really?
Yep. It was when the start of military bands, who play outdoors.
Yeah.
And the low reeds just don't project very well. Bassoon and bass clarinet, great sounds, but they're not really loud. So trying to have that low reed sound that would project outdoors. So it was a concert pitch bass saxophone. Was the
no
first
kidding.
One made.
I had never heard that. Is it so? Was did they name the instrument after Mr. Sax? Then
yep, it was Adolph Sax, and he worked in an instrument shop, selling and repairing. And then
was that in Germany or was that in the U.S.?
Belgium.
Belgium. Yeah. No kidding. I did not realize. I would have figured the alto sax. would have been the first one, maybe. Well, easier to carry for one thing.
Yep, those definitely took off more, but it was just kind of filling a need at the time, just trying new things. The medium was new. Those outdoor military bands for more of a concert setting, so not just the drum and bugles, but it was kind of a new thing. So,
how long ago was this?
That was late 1860s, I believe.
I didn't realize that I guess it makes sense. There weren't any saxophones before that, were there? No. Just clarinets.
That's why you don't see them in orchestras.
That makes sense. I'd never really considered it, but you're right. You don't see it in a philharmonic type of setting that's playing music written from the 17 and early 1800s.
So I've done some orchestra playing on saxophone, some Gershwin or Copland, some of the more recent composers, but orchestras are very traditional groups generally, so they don't want to rewrite what the composers intend to do.
I always wondered about that, for instance, whenever I see other municipal bands, and now we have a good sax crew here, but I've seen some in Almy, and they don't have too many sax players. I've always wondered, only one tenor sax player. I always thought, that doesn't seem like enough. But you're playing a set of music there that wouldn't really call for too much of it there.
Well, sometimes and no.
Usually scores are adapted for them to an extent, right?
Yeah, well, we do orchestral transcriptions, which I like. That's I'll something bet. John Philip Sousa did when his band touring the country. He would not just do his marches, but he'd also do orchestral transcriptions, just trying to bring world music to the communities across the country.
Ladies and gentlemen, he just brought it all back together to tonight's show. World music back to the crowd. The beginning, with the Sartor?
Yep, which is part of a suite that was from the Caucasus Mountains. In the Georgia, Eastern European Georgia, not ours.
Yeah.
And then we're closing with Azusa March, the Washington Post.
Now, how did that become customary? To close with a march, is it customary?
A lot of people will open or close with a march. For some things, it's just if you're going to a band concert, that sounds like band.
Yeah.
It just does. So.
Yeah. That's like you're basically telling folks, okay, we're done. It's time to get up and march out.
Yep, and I like Sousa marches because he brought music to the communities all across the country with his touring band.
You're playing the Washington Post.
Yep.
What is your favorite Sousa march? Because you don't have too many in the course. You don't have too many in the course of the year. Now the 4th of July show, the Patriotic show. It's not on the 4th, but the last show of the year is probably going to be quite full of
We'll have some more Sousa there.
Yeah.
Washington Post is a great one. Josh is doing El Capitan, which is another one of my favorite marches of his. But, there's a lot of good ones. He wrote a lot of them. Wrote marches for different people, different places. He even wrote one in honor of himself. So,
what's that one?
The Golden Jubilee.
Was that when he'd been working for 50 years or something like that?
Yep, that was in celebration of his number of years in front of a band.
I got to tell you, that is about the, I thank you for bringing your big ego into the room here a minute ago. I got to tell you, you write a march to yourself. Now, John Philip Sousa probably earned the right to do it, didn't he?
He was kind of a big deal, so we'll let that one slide.
Okay. There's a great question then. You're the historian. How big a deal was John Philip Sousa in comparison to like people today? Because folks would go from town to town. He'd had a touring band, and you have tours today. You'll have Katy Perry or Drake or whoever, somebody who brings all the kids out. How big a deal was John Philip Sousa back in the 19-teens?
Well, 20s, it was huge
when he was big.
We're right now, we can turn on the radio or fire up YouTube and we can hear what bands are doing in New York or across the world.
Yeah.
And that wasn't an option then. So for him bringing, he was bringing not just entertainment, but he was bringing New York. He was bringing England. He was bringing, the entire world to your doorstep. And that was just not, you had no other way to do that.
What's the Washington Post about? I mean, is it about the newspaper?
Yep. I think that was one that he wrote, in honor of the newspaper. You know, he did people, was places, it, things.
Was he hired to write particular songs? I mean, did the Washington Post newspaper hire him to put it together, I wonder?
Sometimes he was hired. I don't know if he was for
on
that
spec,
one
I guess,
in particular.
Like,
yeah, so he was paid to do things. He also just also wrote marches for people or places.
Just whatever struck his fancy.
Yeah.
I like the one that we played. You may be able to tell the story better than I about that we played last year at Olney, the Venus one. Tell us about that.
Oh, well, was that, I know that was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
It was the Transit of Venus. And
it was written for an actual, didn't he write it for an actual astronomical anomaly that was occurring, yep, in the sky or was coming up?
Yep. And I think that was, might have been my first summer here. Because I was playing in the Cummins band up in Olney,
yeah,
as well as directing this one, and I think it was just a little much for me, so I didn't play in the Cummins band again. But that was the first time that phenomenon had happened since he wrote it
120 years,
yeah,
prior, and the song hadn't been played much because it hadn't it been kind of lost or something like.
Well, it's when you write something for a rare event, you know, it's not really a whole lot of call to
yeah,
do that. So for
be like somebody writing for Halley's Comet, I'm sure there are.
Yeah, but then again, how often do you need that?
76 years.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. I've got Dave Kazmatka here. We're talking about the City Band. It swings back into action tonight at 7:00. At the Courthouse Square. By the way, since we're talking about it, and I'm going to knock wood and make sure and hold my fingers crossed, but is there a rain space?
We generally, in case of rain, which we did a couple times last year,
yeah,
First Christian Church, who also hosts our Christmas concert, is our traditional rainout location.
Okay.
I will double check to make sure that they are good on the calendar for today.
Yeah, I might want to.
Well, I talked to them beforehand. It's not going to rain, so we don't need to.
Yeah.
But I know they do use that space for other things. They,
sure,
are definitely.
Well, they do. They treat us wonderfully.
They're great for us. That's a wonderful, wonderful place to play, and very happy to do it.
But it should be tonight on the Courthouse Square. Bring your lawn chairs.
Yep. And if not, I will go call into the radio to make sure you can let people know where we're at.
We will make sure we let folks know if it has been moved. I'm talking with Dave Kazmatka. He's the director of the Fairfield City Band. First gig is tonight at 7:00. We'll be back, talk a little bit more about what's going on for the rest of this concert season when we return here on the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield. Back in a sec. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. I've got Dave Kazmatka sitting across the way. He is the director of the Fairfield City Band. Fairfield City Band back in action tonight at 7 o'clock at the Courthouse Square. And, of course, that song is the one, that's one of them that, if you remember, did you ever see the movie Ricky Bobby?
Yes.
That's one of the songs they use for profiling purposes.
Okay.
at the bar. but there's jazz in there. Yeah, we use that for profiling. Okay. Tell me about, you mentioned during the break, you've got some, you know, some knowledge. With the city band might play Take Five later on this year.
Possibly.
But you have some more information on
that. Well,
there.
I do. I make up the folders for the band members with, you know, what we are intending on playing. But since we only rehearsed that one time for a concert, if I pull out something new, you know, maybe it'll go very well and maybe it won't.
Yeah.
So I have a couple of extra things in the back of the book that we've played before. So just in case something doesn't go well and isn't performance ready, we'll have something that we can pull out that we can dust off really quickly.
Tell me a little bit about Brubeck.
Well, you know, he was a great jazz musician. He actually got that group together, went on a State Department tour across the world, and was playing and kind of sharing America with the world, and was listening just as much as he was playing. So it came back, and he wrote, put together.
That's when he wrote the really messed up album.
Well, yeah, that was Out of Time. So that was Take Five was on there in 5/4. Blue Rondo a la Turk, which is in 9. Unsquare Dance, which is in 7. Where he's just taking musical ideas that he heard across the world and incorporating in himself.
It's really just brilliant, the amount of creativity that you can come up with in music, isn't it?
Yeah, some of these, especially when you're not. When you're not trying to fit music into a structure, if you're just singing or if you're just playing, if you actually try to write that down, it looks really strange to write it down, where if you're just doing it naturally, it's not a big deal.
Well, see, now there you go. You can listen to Take Five. Yeah. And like we just heard.
And there's no other way you could play
just
that.
Just heard it a couple of minutes ago, and it sounds perfect. You know, it sounds, you wouldn't even think about it. It's actually in 5/4, and nobody ever plays 5/4 other than a few people and rock bands whenever they want to sound like they know what they're doing.
Yep. So, I mean, there's that. We've got another folk song suite coming up later on in the month, which, again, has some unusual time signatures in it. But when it's music by people who are not trained musically, they just do what sounds good to them and not realizing that it's actually kind of hard to play.
Yeah, you ain't a kidding. Let's talk a little bit about next week. I know we've talked about this week. When you've talked about bringing the world to Fairfield, when you look at next week, you're talking about bringing the solar system to Fairfield.
Yeah, working on the solar system too.
That's really cool.
Doing some music. Holst wrote some.
Gustav
Holst wrote some music for military bands. Was actually a school teacher himself.
Oh, really?
He was a junior high choir teacher at a boarding school.
Where?
In England.
Okay, I didn't know. I wasn't sure where Holst was from.
So he did that, but he also wrote.
It's Holst, isn't it? Or is okay? Holst.
Wrote a suite for the planets, and so we're gonna play music from a couple of those.
Wait a minute. Who did he write? This was before he was he still a teacher?
I think so.
So who did he submit that to that looked at the suite of planets and thought, oh my gosh. This sounds incredible.
Yeah, well,
I mean, just because you'd have to look at it and play it on the piano or something just to gather it.
Well, I think he by the time he wrote that, he was well enough established in his career. Like his first suite for a military band that we've played before with the city band was actually originally written for a very small group of people. Where you can play that, I think, with just 17 people.
Oh, wow.
So some of his early things were written for smaller groups because, you know, he didn't have the name yet. It's kind of, if you want an orchestral piece played, you have to be a big enough name to even get your foot in the door.
I would think so. I would think that that would be a big part of it. And next week, we're not playing all the planets, are we?
We're not playing all of them. He wrote 6 movements.
Back when he wrote it, they didn't know about Pluto yet.
Yep. Didn't write one for Earth because he figured that was done enough. So.
So he wrote Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Neptune, and Uranus.
Yep, that's correct.
Okay. All right. I guess that makes sense. Did I count? I was doing the count in my head. That, yeah.
I think that was 6.
That was 7. But we're playing the cool one.
Yep. These are two the better known. Used in movies and commercials and television shows. So this is music that people probably will recognize, though they may not have known its name.
That's exactly right. And we're talking about Mars. We're going to play Mars and Jupiter. Yep. And if you've seen the movie The Right Stuff, that's Mars is prominent.
Yep.
Mars and Jupiter are both prominent in The Right Stuff. And it's just a great song. But that's, you know, the thing is, folks might think that that's stuffy classical stuff. That doesn't sound like stuffy classical stuff. It's driving.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's strong, powerful music.
Yeah, but also next week you're bringing in more jazz and the show tunes, aren't you?
More jazz, more show tunes. Doing some music from Showboat. Doing a collection of American River songs.
Oh, really?
So that's The Water Is Ride, Shenandoah, Shall We Gather at the River, and then there's a couple more in that also.
How about that? What's the no marches next week, though, huh?
Oh, we do have a march processional that was written by an American teacher.
Oh, really?
Claire Grunman, he was a teacher, public school teacher in Kentucky for a while. I wrote Kentucky 1800. I'm sure people are familiar with that one.
Yeah.
And then went up and taught at the Ohio State University for a while. He taught composition and arranging.
We're running a couple tonight from Claire Grunman.
Yep. We're doing one of his. He did 4 American folk song medleys, and he also did an Irish folk song medley. And you know, he did.
Is that his Sea Songs tonight too?
No, Sea Songs is by Raphon Williams or Rafe. Excuse me, it's Raphon Williams.
I was gonna say who?
He did the English folk song suite.
What is your okay? Now the thing is, Dave, you've got to change. You've got to find new stuff, new and interesting stuff every year. It seems like, doesn't it? You play the old favorites.
Yeah.
You'll play the old standbys, but people don't want to get stale, do they?
No, I try and do a couple of new things, or things that we haven't played recently.
What are some of those that you've brought back this year?
Well, we're playing that Chicago medley. It's been probably several years since we've played that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't recall playing it, but I've been in the band for 20 years. I guess we surely did.
Jupiter, we haven't played very much. We're doing another English folk song suite, Lincolnshire Posy. It's by Percy Grainger.
Okay.
Where he went around and collected folk songs on the old wax cylinder recordings.
Really?
So he spent a lot of time just traveling around trying to document the history of his ancestral
of the media,
homeland.
Yeah. How about that? Okay. What has you said Josh Livesay is going to be playing, doing one of the shows. What's Josh got coming up?
Well, and actually he has something really neat. A former educator in town, Ted Hartley, is writing a fanfare for using source material being the high school and junior high school songs.
Really?
Yep.
So that's that first song is the Hartley fanfare.
Is a Hartley fanfare using our school songs as source material. So I'm really looking forward to that.
So he's like the caissons meshed with On Wisconsin?
Yep. I have not seen it yet, so I haven't heard it.
That's
but I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I am looking forward to seeing it. I kind of have a feeling I know what I'm going to be playing.
Yeah.
A-flat, E-flat, A-flat, E-flat, but that's fine.
Maybe. Of course, he was a tuba player.
Yes, I do know that.
So he might give you something more than just that.
He was he came to town when I was in grade school. He
okay.
was I had him for 2 years as I think we were his first job.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see he's getting back into it. I love the Matador. You got the Matador coming up in that show too, don't you?
Yep. He's doing the Matador. Some more. Speaking of Holtz, his second suite, doing that. Over the Rainbow, wonderful, wonderful ballad.
See, that's the thing. Folks can come to these shows, and not only are you going to hear quality musicianship, you're going to hear some interesting songs that you may or may not have heard before.
Yep, or some show tunes, some rock tunes, some big band tunes, something for everybody. Movie tunes. Next week, we're going to close with some music from the latest Star Wars.
Oh, that's not the old Star Wars. That's the new one.
No, that's The Force Awakens.
Oh, okay. See, I haven't seen that one yet, so I won't know what that sounds like.
Yep. No, I saw it. I enjoyed it. We actually did a movie marathon after State Solo and Ensemble Contest at the school. We did episodes 4 through 7. It was about 10 and a half hours.
Oh,
wow. It was a lot of fun, though.
I'm glad you still have kids in the band.
Yeah. Well, it's, some people wanted to. You know, they asked if we could, and I said, hey, that sounds like a great idea. So we just all got together and
so you watch the kids watched a movie from 1977, then 1980, and then 1983.
Yep.
And then one from 2015.
Yep.
What'd they think of that?
Well, one thing they commented on was music. You know,
really?
The music is great.
We see. Thing is, John Williams probably did them forever for all of them.
Yep,
right?
John. That's John Williams for all of them. Wonderful, prolific movie composer.
Yeah.
People don't realize all that he does. E.T., Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
The first three Harry Potter movies, I think.
Yeah, he's not just working with Steven Spielberg and George Lucas. Yep. He works with everybody.
Yep.
When you say prolific, he's got a sound you recognize, but it's also different every time. You know, E.T.
Yeah.
E.T. is not doesn't sound anything like Jurassic Park
or Jaws. You know, for
right.
You know, he does an excellent job writing music to complement the movies that he does.
Well, it sounds like a lot coming up. Okay, let's give folks again when are we doing this? How many shows this summer?
Well, this is every Thursday in June, and 7 o'clock Courthouse Lawn.
Any food, any drink available?
Not that I know of this year. I think in the past we've had area school groups selling concessions,
yeah.
But nothing that I know of this year.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll see if something comes up. And so it'll be the June 2nd through the 30th.
That's correct.
30th is going to be the Patriotic
30th
show,
will
right?
be a Patriotic themed performance.
Dave, I've got like a million more questions to ask you, and I don't think I'm going to have time.
Well, I guess we'll have to do it next year as well.
That sounds good. That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today. Dave Kuzmanka, thank you very much for coming on.
All right, thank you.
That's the Bruce Dickey Show. See you all tomorrow.